Good morning. Yeah, welcome. Welcome to worship, and a special welcome to those visiting today and those here for the baptism of Clara Norman. We're glad to celebrate this great event of God's grace to her together with you today. Just so you know that there are restrooms available just behind here. You can go around through the library door to the your right, and or else there are some downstairs that are available if you need those. We have just a couple of announcements. In addition to Clara's baptism in the service today, next Sunday there'll be Holy Communion, and we'll be serving that here using safety precautions to make sure that we're not spreading anything other than the grace of God for those who come. And we also want to make note of the Bible studies that are available on both Tuesday night and here at the church, and then also the virtual Shady Oak Bible study on Wednesday night at 7. You can talk to myself or Pastor Giovanni. Pastor Giovanni, you can wave back there if you're interested in the Shady Oak Bible study. You can talk to me about the Tuesday night one if you'd like. Other than that, are there any other announcements that should be made at this time? Good, good. Since we have a little bit bigger group today following the service, we'll maybe ask that we excuse from the back first and usher out, kind of working our way forward, and then if the baptismal party wants to take any photos afterward, you're welcome to stay and do that if you'd like. Very good. Well, those are the announcements. Let us begin our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our call to worship from Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will extol the Lord with all my heart in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for gathering us here today to worship you, to hear your word, to witness your grace bestowed in holy baptism. We thank you, Lord, that you are indeed worthy of our praise. And so set our hearts free to worship you now and bless this service and all who've gathered here. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to rise as you're able and sing with me our opening hymn, our opening hymn printed in the bulletin, Praise to the Lord the Almighty.
Him for he is. and salvation. All ye who hear, now to his temple draw near, joining in glad adoration. Praise to the Lord who o'er all things so wondrously gently sustaineth. Hast thou not seen how thy desires e'er have been granted in what he ordaineth? Praise to the Lord who doth prosper thy work and defend thee. Surely his goodness and mercy here daily attend thee. Ponder anew what the Almighty can do, if with his love he befriend thee. Praise to the Lord who all that in me adore him. All that hath life and breath come now with praises before him. Let the amen sound from his people again, gladly for all we adore.
May be seated as we continue to worship the Lord in song, Whiter Than Snow. Great hymn for today as we have a baptism, and Claire is dressed in white. That's a traditional clothing for someone to be baptized. It does symbolize what Jesus does for us, not on the just on the outside, but on the inside, to wash us clean of our sins, that indeed we become whiter than snow because of the blood of Jesus. Amen to that. Well, let us continue our service by confessing our sins. And I invite you to follow along and confess together the parts marked congregation. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Congregation, O most merciful God, who has given your only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy on us, and for his sake grant us forgiveness of all our sins. And by your Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of you and of your will, and true obedience to your word, that by your grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy on us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all of our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them his Holy Spirit. Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, O Lord, to us all. Amen. We'll confess our faith together in just a few minutes in the context of the baptism service. Before I call our baptismal party forward, I have some scriptures to share as a part of the service. Let us hear what the scriptures say about the glory of God's creation. In Psalm 8 we read, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Think how amazing that is, that God's glory is declared in the heavens, in the skies. We look up and we see the vastness of the stars and how far they are from here and what God all created. That declares his praise. And he also chooses the mouths of infants and children to praise him. That is an amazing thought, how big our God is and how much he cares for us, how small we are, but important in his sight. Well, let us continue to hear what the scriptures say about our sin and the redemption provided by God in Jesus Christ. From Romans chapters 3 through 5, it says, through one person, sin entered the world and was passed on to all people. Because of sin, death came on everyone. Therefore, all are under the condemnation of sin and fall short of the glory of God. But God sent another person, his Son Jesus Christ, into the world to die for our sin. Through his death, he atoned for the sin of the whole world, so that those who believe in him are delivered from death and declared righteous and given eternal life. When we see a baby born, we think of a baby as innocent. They haven't had a chance to do something wrong in our eyes. And yet, the scriptures tell us that we can't go by the outward appearance, that inwardly we're born as sinners. From the time of conception, we're sinful, the scriptures say. But God does not leave us there. He sent Jesus, and he invites children to come to him. Hear else the scriptures say in Luke chapter 18. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Therefore, in order that Clara, who is by nature sinful from the time of conception, may see the kingdom of God, into which our Lord Jesus Christ himself has said that none can enter unless born of water and of the Spirit, we will now, in the name of our Lord Jesus, receive her through holy baptism into Christ's believing church, that she may have a part in his salvation, as he himself promised when he commanded his disciples to baptize and teach. And he says this in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Well, I'll invite the congregation to rise, and we will confess our Christian faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed as printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The congregation may be seated, and the parents and sponsors and Clara can come forward now. Regular old water, straight from the tap. It's been sitting here a while, so it should be room temperature. No big surprises for Clara. All right. Yeah. Plain old water. Good for drinking, good for taking a bath, all that kind of stuff, right? But when we put it together with God's word and his holy promises, it becomes something, and it does something greater as God's word, his promise to you, Clara, makes you his child. He puts his mark, his name on you, and claims you for his own, washes your sins away. And that's what we're going to do here in just a few minutes. So I got a couple questions, Clara, for your mom and dad and your sponsors here, okay? All right. Mom and dad, will you make every effort to provide a Christian home for Clara and surround her with love?
Yeah.
Okay. And will you give Clara access to the worship and teaching of the church? And, yeah. You're excited about that. It is exciting. So that in mature years, she may come to a mature commitment to Christ as her own Savior?
Yeah.
Good. And will you seek God's guidance and strength to live your lives as good examples for Clara's spiritual, mental, and physical development?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, sponsors, your turn. Will you, sponsors, pray for Clara? Use your influence to guide her in knowing Christ better, and will you seek God's guidance and strength in your own lives to live as good examples for her? Okay. Well. Okay, let me hold this so I can see it. Here we go. We're just going to get you a little bit wet here. Yes. Clara Elaine, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go. Thank you. All right. Yeah. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for giving your grace to Clara. I pray that she may grow in that grace to come to know you as her own Lord and Savior. May your word find its place in her heart and grow and bear fruit. So we pray this in your blessing upon both her and her family as they grow together in you. And we pray together now, as you taught us, Jesus, and I invite the congregation as we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I want to give you a blessing. Is that okay? All right. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Let's welcome our newest member of Stavanger Lutheran Church. And from the church here, we have a gift from the ladies of the church, a quilt for her. And here's your baptism certificate and something to read together and a little remembrance of this day. Thank you all. You can have your seat. Well, let us pray. Father, we do thank you for coming to us while we were still sinners, that you died for us while we were powerless. You come to be our Savior. Help us all, Lord, to treasure the gift that each of us, Lord, who have been baptized, have been given, and live in it daily, repenting of sin, coming back to you, confessing our sins and being forgiven and set free to walk with you in step with your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord, for those you've called to proclaim your good news around the world. We think of our missionaries in Japan and pray for the Lutheran Brethren pastors and elders meetings taking place February 1st to 3rd online. We pray for wisdom and encouragement as the church there seeks to move forward while navigating the pandemic. We pray this, Lord, for your believers everywhere in the world. Help us to be faithful and persevere through these times and see opportunities, Lord, that you give us to point people to you. So, Lord, we pray that you would do that just now here in this place as we hear the preaching of your word. We pray your blessing upon Pastor Caleb as he delivers, Lord, the message you've given to him from your holy word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. It is good to be here on this already last day of January, if you can believe that. 2021, it seems like, just began, and yet already we're 1/12 of the way through. A reminder that time waits for no man. And yet, as fast as the years go, it can be amazing how long a day can be. And as we look into the life of Christ, we know that he encounters people in the midst of difficult situations. He encounters people in the midst of amazing situations. And yet through it all, he draws men and women to himself. And as we look at our text today, I want to look at Mark chapter 1. And we're going to read starting in verse 21 and going through verse 28. I'm not sure if that's me tracking or not. Okay. Yeah. We're going to start in Mark chapter 1, verse 21. We're going to read through verse 28. And this is one of the Epiphany texts, the pericope text for this week. And throughout the season of Epiphany, we see time and again the revelation of Christ as people are given a little deeper picture into who Jesus is. We see him calling his disciples and them following after. We see him slowly peeling back the layers as they begin to recognize that this man is the Messiah they've been waiting for. And yet, even as they see he is the Messiah they've been waiting for, they struggle to see, because although he is the Messiah they've been waiting for, he doesn't look like what they thought the Messiah was supposed to look like. And the work that he came to do is different from the work they imagined the Messiah would do. And so as we consider this text, as we get a little picture into who Jesus is, today we're going to consider what it means that Jesus has authority. And so I invite you to listen as I read from Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 21, reading through verse 28 in the name of the Lord. And they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority, and not as the scribes. And immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And at once his fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pause for a moment of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word to us. I thank you that your word speaks still. Lord, I pray that you would open my mouth to faithfully proclaim your word. I pray that you would open our eyes to see, that you would open our ears to hear. I pray that you would open our minds to understand. I pray that you would open our hearts to believe. And Lord, by believing, may we turn and be healed even as you have promised. We ask this now in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. As we begin, I apologize. There is a little object on the floor here, and I'm worried I'm going to trip over it because I tend to move around. So I am going to just quickly slide this out of the way. That way I don't have to worry about tumbling backwards out of the pulpit. But in our text today, we see Jesus as he is now beginning his ministry. And as his ministry is underway, he has called his first disciples. He has begun to travel around. And now they are in the region of Galilee, and they come to the city of Capernaum. And there in Capernaum, Jesus, as has become his custom, goes into the synagogue and he begins to teach. And as we see in our text, there is something about his teaching that is unique. There's something about his teaching that draws people to him, that makes them scratch their heads and wonder, what is it about what this man has to say that is so powerful? And as they begin to talk among themselves, they are astonished and they remark to themselves that this man teaches as one with authority. Now, authority is a word that we have mixed feelings about. Authority is a word in this world that we don't always know what to do with. On the one hand, we have at times in our lives positions of authority that are given to us, and we understand the responsibility and the task that comes with that, and we understand that authority can be a good thing when it is used well and when it is handled well, and we hope to have good authority figures in our lives. And yet, on the other hand, we also know that in this life, authority can often become a very ugly thing. Because often instead of good authority figures, we have those who abuse their authority, who use their authority to lord over others. Authority in and of itself is simply the power or the right to give orders, to make decisions, to enforce obedience. And any time you have the power or the right to give orders, to make decisions, and to enforce obedience, you can imagine that we become a little uneasy. We don't so much mind when we have authority, but it is very nerve-wracking when others have authority over us. We recognize in the world that authority can be mishandled, that authority can be misused, and because of that, authority is a frightening thing. And yet when they hear Jesus speak, the only word that they can use to describe the kind of teaching he is giving is that word, authority. Because his teaching has power. There is something about it that is decisive. There is something about it that calls them to obedience. Jesus teaches as one with authority. And if you look at his teaching, it's not surprising that they felt that way, because he cuts right to the heart of the matter. As he stands up, he doesn't give them kind of a lengthy list of opinions and say, well, it might be that this is the case, and it might be that maybe we should consider doing this. He cuts right to the point. He cuts right to the heart, and he cuts through the tradition and the teachings that have arisen around the scriptures, and he cuts right to the heart of the matter. If you go and look at some of the sermons of Jesus, you can see him doing this. You see the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you have heard it said, you shall not murder. But I say to you, a man who hates his brother in his heart is guilty of murder. This is something unlike anything they've ever heard before. Because he cuts to the heart of the matter. He speaks as one who does not need the validation of the people. He's not concerned with the approval of others. He hasn't come to testify in order to gain a following. He hasn't come to testify in order to be the most popular guy on the square. He's not trying to impress them with rhetorical flourishes. He has come simply to speak the truth. And when you speak the truth, there is great power. Because the truth carries great authority. He doesn't need a following to lend him credibility. As he stands up to teach, he's not worried about how the crowd is going to react. He's not worried about whether they're going to like his message or not. And he would have had plenty of opportunity to change his message, but you see, time and time again throughout his ministry, it seems that when the crowds come and they love what he has to say, it's not long before he says something that they don't like and they're gone again. Why? Because he's come to testify to the truth. Because he knows what his mission is. He has come from the Father and he has been given authority to speak as one who testifies to the truth. He speaks the truth, and not only does he speak the truth, but he speaks as one who has the power to see that it is done. And when you speak the truth boldly as Jesus did, people are drawn to it and people are threatened by it. We see in our text today the crowd drawn to him. As he speaks, they marvel at what he has to say, and marvel conveys to us some the sense of wonder, and yet we know that marveling is not always a positive marveling. Some there, I'm sure, wondered and marveled at the great things he had to say, and others, I'm sure, marveled and wondered at the audacity of this man, that he would dare to stand up and proclaim these things. The truth always draws a dividing line. It always forces us to side with the truth or against the truth. And when our authority is threatened by the truth, it can become easy for us to array ourselves against it. And there is one there who is possessing an unclean spirit. And as Jesus begins to speak, he cries out. He interrupts. And he says, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." This evil spirit that is there in the crowd is not questioning who Jesus is. He doesn't have to marvel and wonder and say, could he be the one? He knows immediately. It is apparent to him right away. This is the Holy One of God. This is the Messiah. And because of that, immediately he is threatened, because he knows that Jesus has authority and that Jesus has come to set his people free. And so we ask the question, have you come to destroy us? And Jesus rebukes him. Jesus tells him to be silent. He tells him to come out of this man. And the spirit has to obey, because Jesus has authority. He has authority, not just to speak the truth, but authority to give orders, to make decisions, to enforce obedience. And as Jesus tells the spirit, come out, the spirit has no choice. Because when God speaks, they must obey. Jesus exercises his authority to set this man free from the oppression, from the authority of this evil spirit that has reigned over him. And when the people see this, they're amazed even further. And they begin to question among themselves and say, what is this teaching? A new teaching with authority? Even the unclean spirits obey him, and his fame begins to spread. And again, as his fame begins to spread, we see more and more people drawn to him. And yet we see again more and more people threatened by him. And it won't be long before those same people who are used to positions of authority, who are used to positions of power, are going to look at Jesus and say, well, yeah, that's impressive, but it's only because of the devil that he can do it. It's only by the power of Beelzebub that he drives out demons, they'll say soon. Why? Because they are threatened by his authority. And when they are threatened by his authority, they array themselves not with the truth, but with the father of lies. Jesus has authority. Authority to speak the truth. And it's because he speaks the truth and because he testifies to the truth that the authority that he has is powerful. Jesus has authority over our lives. He has authority over the evil spirits. He has authority over the power of sin and the power of death and the power of the devil. And because of that, as Jesus carries out his ministry, there are a lot of people in Israel and there are a lot of forces in the world that are threatened by him. Now, on outside appearance, there's nothing about Jesus that's particularly threatening. He was the son of a poor family from Nazareth, born in Bethlehem in a manger. He's not the most impressive physically. We're not told that he was like Samson, going out and ripping things apart with his hands. We're not told that he was like David, a mighty warrior, skilled in battle with his sling and his sword and going out winning victory after victory. We're not told that he was like Saul, a head foot taller than everybody else and the handsomest guy in the room. There was nothing particularly threatening about Jesus' physical appearance. He was just a guy, and by all accounts, it seems not even all that remarkable a one physically. He didn't seem to be the kind of guy that you'd look at and say, oh, that's definitely the king. So what was it that was so threatening about him to the high priests and to the Pharisees and to the Roman authorities? It was because he had authority. An authority unlike any that they possessed. Because their authority was dependent upon strength of arms. Their authority was dependent upon force. Their authority was dependent upon the popularity among the people, the influence and the wealth that they had accumulated in their life. And in this world, we often believe that those are where authority is found. And we're no different today. If you look around today at figures that we view as authority, it's not surprising that you look to the great houses of government, that you look to the people in positions of military command, that you look to people who have large bank accounts and large number of Twitter followers and Facebook friends. We have a whole microcosm of people in our culture that we call influencers. And we like to believe that they have some degree of authority. Why? Because of the number of followers they have or the number of likes they have. We have people that we like to believe have real authority because of the amount of money they can throw around and the amount of things they can flood the market with. So it was in Jesus' day. It was not a different world. There were people with money, there were people with power, there were people with influence, and they ran the shots and they had great authority, or so they thought. But here comes Jesus of Nazareth, and he is speaking a message that is unlike anything they have heard. He is speaking the truth of God. And the reason that is threatening to them is because the truth of God reminds them that all of the things that they have accumulated, all of the things they look to for their authority, all of the things that they look to for their influence and their power are meaningless. It's meaningless. It doesn't matter in the context of eternity. What good is wealth if you'll one day be gone? What good is influence if it can't save you from the only enemy that can really threaten you? What good is having everything in the world if you're still going to die like anybody else? If your soul is still going to be held in the devil's sway? You can live a wealthy slave or you can live a poor slave, but you're a slave either way, and a slave has no power. He has no influence. He has no authority. And so as Jesus comes and he reveals to them the truth that they are all slaves to sin, the truth that they are all in need of freedom and repentance, you can imagine that those who view themselves as powerful don't take kindly to this message. And they reject him. And they push him away. Because we like to believe as human beings that we have authority. And this is why the message of the scriptures can be so galling to us at times. Because we like to believe that at the end of the day, the final authority should rest with me. That even if I don't rule over others in this world, that at the end of the day, I can at least decide for myself what is right. That I can at least decide for myself what is true or not true. But Jesus comes and he says, no, God has already said what is true. And when the truth is proclaimed, you must either align yourself with it or align yourself against him. And so as Jesus comes speaking as one with authority, the hearts of the people are stirred. And they puzzle and they wonder. and they marvel, and some rejoice, and some begin to plot and scheme. How can we remove this guy and get him out of the way? But Jesus, for his part, simply continues to teach and continues to preach, because Jesus knows that not only has he been given authority to speak the truth, but Jesus is perfectly willing, even though he is the King of Kings, even though he is the Lord of Lords, he is perfectly willing to live as one under authority himself. And he knows that just as he has been given authority by the Father, so too he must use his authority for the purpose that the Father has intended. He knows that his authority has been given to him so that he might use it for us, for our well-being, for our redemption, for our forgiveness. Because Jesus knows that the only true authority in this world comes from God, and if it comes from God, then it must be used for others. Because if you use your authority to build yourself up and to lord over others, then it cannot be true authority, because that is not God's design for authority. God has designed that authority should be used to promote and to build up and to encourage others, to strengthen others, to encourage others, to redeem others. And so as Jesus is given true authority, he knows that he has been given that authority for the purpose of setting you and I free from the forces of false authority that have reigned in our lives, from the forces of sin, from the forces of death, from the forces of the devil. He has come to free us from their tyranny and to give us new life. And he uses his authority to rebuke the devil and to undo the power of sin and the power of death, to destroy it forever and to set us free. We can have hope today because he has authority. We can have hope today because he has the power to do what he has promised he will do for us. We can trust in the promises of God today because he has been given the power and the authority to carry them out, to see that they are done. And so my encouragement to you today is to hear the promises of Christ more loudly than you hear the promises of this world. Because this world will give you many promises, it will. It will promise you that if you just do this, if you just have more of that, if you just try a little harder here, try a little harder there, spend a little more time on this, if you just do those things, it'll all work out. But the problem is the world has no authority to declare that. The world has no power to make it so. Because all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus Christ. And he has come to testify to the truth. And the truth is this: we are sinners. We have fallen short. We have not lived up to God's requirements of us, to God's expectations for us, to God, what God had designed us to do. That's the truth. And yet this is also the truth, that God still loves you. And he has not forgotten you. And he has not cast you off forever. And Jesus Christ has come into this world today not to condemn you. It is not that he's come. But he has come to set you free from condemnation. To set you free from the power of sin and death. To set you free forever from all of the forces of this world that seek to drag us down, that seek to oppress us and dominate us. And if the Son has set you free today, then you are free indeed. You are a slave no longer. Christ has spoken, and he has the power and the authority to do so. And even now he stands at the right hand of God, and he is praying and he is interceding for you. If you remember nothing else from this service today, remember this: You are loved by God. You are loved by God. And He has, through Jesus Christ, forgiven you all of your sin and set you free from the power of sin and death. That's the truth today. I pray that you'll believe it and side with the truth. And no longer believe the lies of the enemy that says you are destined to be a slave forever. Live in the freedom of Christ today. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the authority that Jesus Christ was given. I thank you that He came to testify to the truth of your love for us. Lord, we know that there is a lot of brokenness in this world. We know that the world wants us to believe very strongly that there is no love, that there is no greater good, that there is no mercy or forgiveness. But Lord, may we not listen to the voices of this world that seek to enslave us. But may we listen to the voice of truth that declares to us boldly, that declares to us with authority, that in the name of Jesus Christ we have been set free and we have been given new life. And as we believe that promise, may we not be defined by our past. May we not be defined by our past success. May we not be defined by our past failure. But may we instead, as a new creation, be defined by you and your word. Lord, help us to trust in you. Help us to see you as the final authority. Free us from the love of self. And as we follow after you, may we rest in your grace and your mercy to us. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this worship service. Thank you for everyone gathered here. Lord, I thank you for the celebration of a baptism today. What a beautiful promise. And I thank you that you have the authority to see that promise fulfilled. Remind all of us of that truth. And bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Caleb, preaching the good news. And before we sing our closing chorus and close the service, I just want to give an invitation that if you heard something today that is stirring in your heart, maybe you have a question or something you don't understand, or maybe there's something that you do understand that's troubling you and you want to talk with somebody about it, please feel free to give me a call. I'm Pastor John. Contacts on the back of the bulletin here. We have our other pastors, Pastor Giovanni or Pastor Eric. We'd be happy to visit with you and pray with you if you'd like. So let's close our service. I invite you to rise as you're able and sing our closing chorus. receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Son and Holy Ghost.